It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. They're in Manchester, England for the Stack 2015 conference, and they'll join us live with a live studio audience. We'll answer a lot of questions, talk about Windows 10, the new Windows Mobile, should be out any minute now, and a whole lot more. You stay tuned. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 440, recorded Wednesday, November 18th, 2015. Have you seen Dog Meat? Windows Weekly is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free expedited FedEx shipping in time for the holidays when you go to ring.com/WW. And by lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/windows. That's lynda.com/windows. And by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/windows to apply for a loan now. This episode of Windows Weekly was taped before a live audience. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about the latest from Microsoft, and there they are, beautifully lit, I might add. That's because they're in a comedy club, and everyone knows comedy clubs are famous for their lighting. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Yep. Where's the brick wall? What are you doing there?
It's a brick wall, actually. Yeah. What are we doing here?
Good question. We're here for Stack 2015, which was a Windows developer conference here in Manchester today. So we both came by just to do Windows Weekly, and I did a talk myself today before Paul was awake.
No, I got it. I barely made the beginning of it.
Yeah. So that's why we're here.
Great. And you've got a live audience Mancusian Microsoftians.
And the new race from the next Star Trek series.
They're a jolly bunch, which is good. And great. Well, I'm glad we could do this. And you're not too jet lagged. You feel pretty good.
I'm feeling a little punchy, Leo.
Yeah, same. Okay. A few beers in. Yeah.
You know. Oh, is that what you were quaffing earlier there, Paul?
If anybody knows how long the Dublin airport is from end to end, I walked that twice today.
Oh, God. Oh, God. What beer are we drinking?
We are drinking a beer from Brixton Brewing that one of our lovely guests brought for us.
Was this from Steve? Was that Steve? Who brought us this one? Sorry? Gary, sorry.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary, for getting my host drunk before the show. always much appreciated.
With the Windows Phone lately, I pretty much have to drink before every show now. Yeah.
Somebody told me that they bought a 950 or a 950 XL. Is it out now?
No.
No, it's for sale, though. You can
pre-order
it.
Pre-order.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's... that's going to be out the 20th still. That's what you guys were saying, or Paul was saying.
Mm-hmm. This Friday.
This Friday.
Yeah. For the 920. I think the 950, sorry.
Right.
950 XL is going to be a little later.
Right.
The one we want.
The big one.
Yeah. I was mentioning before the show, I heard that Microsoft has said the Android Bridge is a little delayed. What did they call that? They had a name. Beatrice Peabody something. I can't remember.
No. Astoria.
Is going to be delayed or probably more like...
We have news and rumors and ideas about that, I guess.
So I decided to buy a BlackBerry. Which is not... Well, it's running Android.
Yeah. Sure.
Actually, it looks like it has a really nice camera, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Why do we have...
A Dilbert cartoon?
A Dilbert cartoon in the show notes. Can you, is that?
I thought I'd share a joke with you guys. I don't know. I thought it was funny.
What's his name? Egbert? The boss says, I hope that clarifies our strategy. Questions?
From what you said, I can't tell if we're in the hardware or software business.
We're B2B.
How much do you wish that meant something?
There you go.
I didn't write the joke, guys.
Scott Adams, always very astute in his observation of the culture and mores of the American corporation. So let's talk about the bridge. Is it on hold? You think it's dead, Paul?
Yeah, I have a source from related to Windows Phone at Microsoft who told me that it was dead, and that during a product demo with the various managers there, they nixed it and did not like this technology.
Because of how it was working, or because they don't want to run
it? Well, so we're hearing conflicting things on that, and this guy suggested to me that it worked too well, that this thing worked well enough that Windows Universal Apps wouldn't be necessary on phone, and that's what they were concerned about. That if people could just bring over an Android app and have it just work, there would be no reason for them to ever really make a universal app. And, you know, the way the bridges work different, are different between the bridges.
Right.
And this one is kind of the less universal of the four, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I heard performance, but I didn't hear it the way you heard it.
Yeah, right, the opposite.
Right,
yeah.
I heard the opposite, that it was because of the emulation technology in the bridge, it was slowing down Windows Phone.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, it may be gone.
But the iOS bridge is alive and well, right?
It is.
It is, but it's, you know, they're implemented completely differently. With the iOS bridge, you're taking code, you're converting it over to a Windows Universal app, mm-hmm. and then you kind of take it from there. That's not the way that the Android one was done. And actually, yeah. we have, this is just a supposition, right, on our part, but we know that those teams have kind of come together. Mm-hmm. It's possible that Microsoft might try to make a version of the Android bridge that works more like the iOS one, mm-hmm. which, frankly, probably makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Interesting. Because they made a big deal about it when they announced the bridges.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. You know what else they made a big deal about, Leo?
What, Paul?
Windows Phone.
Yeah. Aww. Oh, that's mean. That's mean.
No, I'm just kidding. Actually, what I meant to say was OneDrive.
Next, you're going to say Silverlight.
Silverlight was a big deal. Remember that?
Windows Media Center.
Soon was a big deal. Media Center. Deal.
Yeah, all right. All right. Okay. You know, I think that's probably fair. Who needs Android and even iOS? What they need to do is push hard to get the right apps out for Windows Phone. And I think the whole strategy of One Windows and XAML development, it seems like the right one. Just push that harder.
It does, but, you know, they've kind of been pushing that pretty hard for a while, right? So you asked the crowd earlier. Mary Jo gave a talk, and she asked the crowd how many people were developing Windows Universal Apps. And what did that look like?
There were quite a few here. Yeah. Unlike the case when we were in Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you?
When we were in Las Vegas, we had an audience for a talk we did, and it was also a Microsoft conference there. And when we asked who was developing Windows 10 apps, no one raised
their hand. There was literally chirping.
But it was early.
No, it was not. It was a week ago.
No, this was like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Never mind. Oops.
No, I know. So it was like, okay, at least some people here are, you know?
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of thought I guess when I first heard about the bridges that build, I thought, it's a curious way to go about this. But then the idea seemed, okay, maybe that will help close the app gap. And now it's like, well, I guess that's not going to be the way we do this. Okay, something else.
Yeah.
As long as the iOS bridge is going forward, though, I feel like at least they'll get those apps.
Because if you have all the iOS apps, there's not much that you don't have, right?
But you have to have the developer buy-in.
Right? It's more, in other words, you have developers out in the world and they are targeting specific platforms, whatever it is, and they have expertise in certain areas. And, you know, you want to be inclusive with this kind of stuff. Yeah. If you have Android apps, bring them in. If you have iOS apps, bring those in. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if this is resurrected in some way. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's not looking good.
All right. Well, enough of the downer, the Debbie downer. Right. Enough of that.
Okay.
Let's talk about Kinect.
Now,
that's not where you are. Where was that?
No. Kinect is an event that Microsoft did in New York. So if I had stayed home, I would have been there.
Okay.
They it's a virtual developer event, so they do it over the course of 2 days. And this is where they roll out a ton of developer news, typically. Last year, it was where they announced they were open sourcing a lot of the .NET stack. So this year, they didn't have as big... I wouldn't say the announcements were as big, but they had a lot of them. Yeah. And one of the interesting ones was Microsoft is going to open source Visual Studio Code, which is their lightweight code editor that works on Mac, Linux, and Windows. So they're bringing that open source. They came out with beta 2 of that today. And they also announced that as part of that, they're making Visual Studio Code extensible and that they'll have a marketplace of extensions for Visual Studio Code. So that's kind of an interesting announcement, I think. Yeah. Quite a bit of interest in that product. But I was happy to hear Visual Studio Online is being renamed. Why was I happy about that? Because Visual Studio Online is not Visual Studio Online.
Oh, fair enough.
It's not the same as Visual Studio.
It's not a version of the environment.
It's not Visual Studio Online.
Right.
It's something else.
It's like it's more like Team Foundation Services, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In other words, Office Online
confusing.
Is
they
Office
should name
Online.
It properly, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think that's a good one.
They should call it Visual Studio 365. Yeah.
No. That'd be extra confusing.
And you can use it to develop on Linux now.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm sure there's...
Not that anyone should ever do
such. People are clamoring for that. now, Visual Studio is a nice IDE. It's a nice environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then another big announcement about ASP.NET 5 and .NET Core. So .NET Core is the version of .NET that Microsoft's bringing cross-platform. Right. They're actually putting the core of .NET on Linux and on the Mac operating system, as well as Windows. And they are up to release candidate stage on both of those two things. So they're almost done with ASP.NET 5 and .NET Core. I'd say maybe Q1 next year you'll see the final. So that shows some progress there. So it was kind of like a lot of incremental things like that they announced today.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of the other ones.
Oh, there were 200 other ones. You're not going to be able to remember all.
It was a ton of smaller things. They announced Azure Service Fabric preview, public previews out. So that's the new Microsoft Platform as a Service that they're doing where they're allowing developers to build apps that are kind of like microservices that you can plug in together. So that's finally out in preview. And they announced the Microsoft Graph, which is a thing that used to be called Office Graph. It's the unified API for Office 365 that is now available to developers as well. So lots of incremental stuff, yeah. But good stuff.
Yeah. Good, 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 good.
Developers, 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 Leo.
Is it time to talk about Xbox yet?
Yes.
How about we take a break and talk about Windows 10? Because I hear that's coming out soon.
you know, the funny thing is...
Right on top of the news, me. Yeah, no, really
every week, you know, we go back and we look at our sites to see what has happened in the past week and, you know, throw it together in the form of notes. And, you know, Microsoft shipped the November update for Windows 10, bringing it up to... you know, version 1511. And I we were talking about it upstairs. I was like, didn't we talk about this last week? Yeah. Like, this actually has happened since we last recorded the show. It seems like it happened weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I guess
yeah.
It just happened. Yep. So we must have just anticipated. We knew it was coming or whatever. And so we...
That's my excuse. I get confused because you guys are so prescient. You talk about the future. And then when the future happens, then I think, well, didn't this already happen? But it didn't happen because
didn't we already talk about this?
You are just precogs. I live in the minority world report where everything happens.
Well, this one was pretty clearly telegraphed. but yes, so I don't think we need to go over the features.
Well, hold on,
anymore.
hold on.
Yes.
Because I'm going to do an ad now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Those of you in England can close your ears on this. You don't, right. Have a beer. I think it's time to talk about the Ring video doorbell. Ring is an amazing thing. I thank Ring almost every day when my doorbell goes off or my motion detector goes off, because it has that as well. And I can see who's at my door. I can see what's going on. Are they leaving a package? Is it my daughter trying to sneak in at 3 a.m? What's going on? The Ring is amazing. It's so easy to install. It goes where in place of your regular doorbell. If you have a wired doorbell, take out the two screws. You've got two wires coming out. You mount the Ring. They give you all the tools you need. It's about half an hour. And it's just like your doorbell's back. You know, it rings your chimes in the house and all that. But it also rings your mobile devices. You can use the free Ring app on iOS and Android, and you'll know when somebody's at your door. Now, why would you want that? Well, I mean, you can't open your door with the Ring. I want to be clear about that. But you can talk to them, because not only does it have a great camera, it also has a big fisheye camera, so you can see the whole view. It also has a button that says accept or decline, in which you can say, yeah, I'm here, even if you're at work, even if you're across the world, I'm here, leave the package on the stoop. Or if it's a bad guy, which is not unusual, because that's how it works. You know, they ring your doorbell in the daytime to see if you're home, then they go around back and break in. You could say, yeah, I'm in the bathtub, I'll be out in a minute, and they run away. Plus, you've got crystal clear video of them, so, you know. it's more than just stopping them in the tracks, though. If you're getting packages this time of year, you can talk to the delivery people, you can keep an eye on your package. If somebody comes and steals it, we had this happen, by the way. My brother-in-law, actually, his son was home, didn't hear it. Guys came up in a truck, took his packages, his Amazon packages off the stoop, and drove off. We're giving him a Ring for Christmas, because now he'll know. You know, he can see it. He can see it happen. He can have video to give to the cops. It's just like a neighbor keeping an eye on your home 24/7, except it's you. I love this thing. Very easy to install. It has a motion alert. You can set the sensitivity so you don't, you know, you see exactly what you want to see and no more. You can, it doesn't have to have existing wiring. It has a built-in rechargeable battery. It's good for a year, so you don't have to worry about that. You can actually put this on some, this would be a good place, good thing to get for somebody that doesn't have a doorbell. This year, a great gift, peace of mind and convenience, the video doorbell. Time Magazine named one of their top 10 gadgets last year. Ring.com/WW for free expedited FedEx shipping. RING.com/WW. I saw the founder of Ring wrote an article why it was great that he got rejected at Shark Tank. He came before Shark Tank, and they said, no, terrible idea. So he did it all himself, and he says, I'm so glad I didn't give those jerks a piece of the company. Now he's doing great. Just got $28 million from an investment led by Richard Branson of Virgin. And they've got some really interesting new stuff coming along. This is such a great idea. Ring.com/WW for free expedited FedEx shipping, so you get it for the holidays. Great gift. Especially, you know, for my mom, this would be so good, so she doesn't have to get up. My dad would appreciate this, too. Just think about who could use a Ring doorbell. If you've already got one, you know how great it is. Ring.com/WW. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley.
The latest good news.
Oh,
I've been unmuted. I'm sorry.
I
some good news
you.
About the Ring video doorbell.
What's that?
There is now a Windows Universal app for it.
Yay, Ring. Thank you. That's awesome.
Just happened.
That's awesome. So that means I could even do it on my desktop, right? I could have Ring running on my desktop.
I believe it works on mobile as well. I mean, I haven't tested
I love
it, but
that.
It, from
I love
the shots
that.
And the description, it looks like it's it would be fun.
What are they saying?
He said HoloLens.
Calm down. let's not
yeah,
go.
Yeah, the HoloLens here. Version, you can sneak up behind the guy.
Well, that'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? All right, moving on. Windows 10. Threshold 2 came out. Was it right after the show? I think it was last week.
It must have
just
been
the next day. Yep.
So, and it's been a kind of a staged rollout. I didn't get it right away, and I know some people didn't, but it's out now. Should everybody have it by now?
Actually, not everyone, but I've got a tip about that for later.
Okay. It's not the kind of thing where you go, wow, look what they did to my Windows.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's 100 or 200 little things in there that kind of add up to something special,
like
I think.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's nice.
That's the officially the November up. No, this is that the November update?
It is. Okay. This is called the November update. It was going to be called the fall update.
Right. Until they heard us give them a hard time.
Yep.
The fall, yeah.
Let's change it just to mess with them. Well, I think the November update naming is more consistent with
makes
their other
sense.
Products.
Yeah,
Xbox.
Somebody pointed out that it's not the fall in the Southern Hemisphere. It's not fall. Right. You know, so
Microsoft listens to your feedback, Leo.
Thank you, Microsoft. By the way, Steve Ballmer now officially owns the Clippers. There's some good news.
He didn't before.
He didn't before. Oh, was there a court case?
Sterling,
or something?
The guy who used to own it. Remember, his wife sold it out from under him, saying, that guy's senile.
That's
sold
right.
it out from under him. So he went to court saying, hey, she can't do that. And the court has now ruled, yes, she can.
Oh, well.
So Steve is now official. Not that he wasn't before. Oh, hi, Cortana. No, I'm talking about your old boss. Okay.
She popped right up. She does owe him her job.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. B. Anything more to say about that, the November update?
One thing worth noting for people who are business users, a lot of people thought enterprise data protection would be in the November update, and it is not. It's going to be a feature. This is a data leak enhancement feature coming to Windows 10, and it's going to be available to insiders before the end of this year, just like extensions to the browser.
Did you just say data leak?
Leak.
Oh, okay.
I know. I do talk a lot about data lakes.
Leak, but not lake.
Right.
Okay.
So, didn't make it in. Windows Store for Business is there. Enterprise data protection, not quite yet. Maybe next year.
Okay.
That's all.
That's it. That's all she wrote.
Yep.
Hello.
Hello. So I got this idea talking to – actually, I didn't get this idea. Someone from HP gave me this idea, and I actually agree with this, having used Windows Hello in a variety of devices now. Two of the three forms of Windows Hello are cameras, right? So you look at the camera.
Yeah, I use it a lot.
Scans your iris.
I love it.
But here's the thing.
Is it really it's scanning my eye, my iris, my eyeball?
Not on your computer.
Let's see.
On the Surface Book, that's facial recognition.
Oh, okay.
The new Lumia phones have iris scanning.
Do you have to hold it up to your eyeball?
No, you have to kind of hold it in front of your face.
Interesting.
Not that I would know.
I
exactly.
love it. It works well.
About how far? About
the point
that
is,
far?
as a friend from HP pointed out to me, and I actually do agree with this, you know, one of the weird things about that kind of sign-in is that it's kind of implicit, not explicit, that just by virtue of walking in front of the computer, it can kind of sign you in. And you may not actually always want that. And, you know, Windows Hello also supports like a fingerprint scan or a fingerprint press. And the interesting thing about that kind of sign-in is that it's very, very quick, but it's also you explicitly saying, I want to do this thing, you know, and that for some people that may actually be the more desirable option, because if someone is around your computer and maybe, you know, either private information for yourself or private corporate information, you may not want it just to log you in, and it will log you in, assuming you haven't just signed out immediately. And it's kind of an interesting point. I mean, so on a phone where you can kind of hold it up to your face, or you could type in a PIN on a Surface type device if you had the choice of the fingerprint scanner or the cameras you do on Surface Pro 4, you know, for some people, it's just something to think about. It may be worth going with the fingerprint option instead, just because you're specifically saying, I want to do this thing, and that's how it works.
Yeah. I got to say, I'm not a big fan so far of Hello on the PC.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
On your Surface
I've had
book.
Trouble getting it to work. Yeah, having trouble getting it to work to recognize me a bit. And then after that, I was like, for me, a pen just feels way quicker to enter.
Right. So facial recognition or iris scanning is great when it works. When it doesn't work, you find yourself in a goofy situation where you're kind of head bobbing around trying to get the camera to recognize you.
That's actually a good point, yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with, you know, if you were wearing glasses or not, or maybe you were, like I said, when I first set it up on the Surface Book, I was laying on the couch. And so if you
angle.
Think about, you know, you have to kind of get like, oh, this is how I was when I was laying on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's that frustration. There's what is hopefully a short-term problem on the Surface devices where Windows Low appears to be behind some of the power management issues that people are seeing, where the thing isn't going to sleep.
Yeah.
It's getting really warm. You close it, it sits there and, you know, heats up your laptop bag or whatever. I think Microsoft will fix that problem. But I just think fundamentally, I mean, some people are going to love it and some people aren't, whatever. But it's just something to think about. You know, signing in to your computer is one thing. It's also, remember that Windows Hello will also be used to make purchases and to do other things, you know, and eventually through Windows Password to pass through your password to web services and so forth. So it doesn't actually work this way. I'm exaggerating this. But, I mean, what you don't want to do is be looking at the $100, you know, Star Wars bundle on movies and TV, and it's like, hey, you just bought it because you were sitting, you know, signing in front of it. It doesn't actually work that way, but, you know, it's implicit versus explicit. It's just something to think about, I think, with Windows Low. And I think, you know, like Mary Jo, at this point, I prefer just to win the pin. On a, you know, if you have that, or
you know,
doing the
victory. Now you're making me feel bad. I am the one who's going like, come on.
But you do. That's what I mean. Like you know.
When it does,
you know,
it's great. You don't have to. There's like no time between opening
the lid. When it doesn't
do
it, it's the worst. The little eyes look. He's like, I'm trying to find you. You know.
And then you have to swipe up. Then you have to. And this annoys me. Choose your authentication method. It should just do the pin. Because if I just had to swipe up and enter the pin, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But there's an extra click in there.
If you do have Windows Hello enabled and you hit the space bar, the pin pad should come up.
Oh.
I think by default. I think that is what happens. If it fails.
For me, when it fails, it says, okay, now choose your authentication method.
Yeah. Mm. No, I mean, after it fails, then you have to choose. Mm. Yeah. But if you just bypass Windows Hello, you can
Right away. Bar. So while it's doing it, you can just
enter the
pin.
It should go to the pin in that instance. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then you could have both without any disadvantage.
Yep.
Theoretically. And you know who is so you said some people who's doing universal apps? Is there any? I mean, I'm thrilled to hear Ring.
Specifically, this guy.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear that Ring has done one. That's great. You know, Dmitry Lialin, who is the Microsoft developer who did our Windows phone app that was great for Twit, says he's doing a universal app based on the API.
Yeah.
But I think, there any big names, like did Instagram say, or any big names?
Well, Box is one.
Okay.
They just announced their universal app a week ago or so.
Seems
and what
like
they had.
All of those guys should be, right?
Should. Right. They had two apps. They had a Windows Phone app that was a Silverlight app, and they had a Windows 8 app.
It's going to be a lot of those guys, right?
Yeah, so right. And all they have to do, I'm making it sound so easy. Yeah. All they have to do is combine them and make a universal app. Box actually did a blog post about their work building this universal app, and they said it was fairly straightforward and surprisingly easy. So we'll see if other people think that.
It seems like Facebook, Dropbox, any of these companies that have those two apps.
There was a leak of a Facebook app last week. Was that a universal app? It was, right?
Yes, it was.
That Facebook built, not
Microsoft.
Yeah,
there was a rumor that, or someone misconstrued some strings in it and thought it was an iOS port, but it was just a universal app, I think.
Yep. So they're coming. Yep.
I think a hovercraft has arrived. probably couldn't hear that over the microphone.
Okay.
It just sounded like a Star Wars special effect. The Emperor will see you now.
Great.
But Dropbox, I mean, they should do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody who's like a Windows developer, is there a disadvantage to doing a universal app as opposed to writing directly to Windows?
You can't do shell injection, for example.
Yeah.
But if you already have these mobile apps, if you were already doing a Windows 8 app, if you were already doing a Windows Phone app, it makes a ton of sense to make that into one app that can change itself on the fly to look properly on a mobile device, a little tablet, a big tablet, a PC, whatever. I mean, I think that what Box did is very representative of what a lot of companies can and should do.
Good. We should applaud them and Ring.
Ring the bell.
There's two. They're just pouring in.
Jeez. Excuse me. Windows Phone is making me sick.
Jay Hawk just in our chat room says, I'm 20, and the only thing holding my friends back, and me, presumably, from a Windows Phone is Snapchat.
Right.
That's a huge thing not to have is Snapchat.
Yep.
And
we have 113 messaging apps on Windows, but none of them are named Snapchat.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and Snapchat has made it pretty clear they're not interested in doing a Windows app at all.
That baffles me.
Unless something changes.
That just baffles me. It's not that they don't have the money to do it.
Right.
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 Yeah, I think their point is they care mostly about apps that are on phones, and Windows Phone doesn't have a compelling market share for them.
Right.
They don't care if they do a PC app, right? They maybe care if they do a tablet app.
Right.
HoloLens, maybe someday, right?
Sure.
Maybe. HoloLens, Snapchat, think about that.
No.
Turn your head right. It'd be cool. No.
I have taste Snapchat.
Apparently, Snapchat CEO has a thing against Microsoft.
Sure. Yeah. At least against Windows Phone.
What you really need is Windows Hello at Snapchat, right? Because it will recognize you.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Privatize the conversation no matter what device you're on.
Yeah.
I think it'd be nice.
Well, when you have 1.7% market share.
I don't use apps like this. In fact, I texted Raphael the other day, and he said, you know, it's not 1992, right?
Raphael.
I'm like, I'm old. This is always some messages.
Snapchat is awesome.
I'm sure that's true.
It's the future of messaging. I mean.
I'm sure that's true.
So, I mean, don't knock the Snapchat.
I'm positive my kids use this. I'm positive they do. I just don't.
Not just kids. Everybody uses Snapchat. Everybody. You know, my son.
Oh, I don't. I use Windows Phone, Leo. I can't use.
Well, everybody except the 1.7% of you who use Windows Phone. But that's a big. It's those things, you know.
Yeah.
That make a difference, I think. I hate to say it. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, we were talking about this earlier in the show. I mean, Snapchat's a big app. So not having Snapchat is tough. Just like not having Instagram for a time was tough. But the real problem, the reason, what the app gap is really about is that one little app that you need every single day.
Whatever that is.
The parking app for the train station, you go to the train app.
Lack of banking apps is kind of...
Banking apps, absolutely. Yeah, mobile payments, that stuff's tough. You know, if you don't have that thing that people need every day, it doesn't have to be Facebook or Instagram.
My question is, aside from the bridges, what is Microsoft doing...
Right.
To solve this problem? Because I think this is a fundamental issue.
Well, but I think the problem is there's no way to really solve it, right? Back when Windows Phone 8 was still called Apollo and it was going to be a thing, Microsoft had this plan where they were going to try to pay developers to create these things to help them port them to Windows Phone. If they wouldn't do it, get third-party developers to, you know, create third-party
versions.
That
was a mistake, because nobody wants a third-party Snapchat.
Yeah, right.
But I guess
when
you get to...
you can't have a third-party.
When you get to the point where, there's no API.
But now we're talking about... This is three years ago.
Right.
So, as time goes on, I mean, Microsoft does what it can do. You know, I think the universal app platform is excellent. It's a great idea. I think not all of them, but I think some of those bridge... technologies are good ideas.
Yeah.
There's only so much they can do. If Microsoft goes to Snapchat and says, look, we'll pay for it, we'll embed developers in your office, and and they say no, I mean, there's no way to fix that.
That's the thing. You can't throw enough money at a Snapchat or a Google because they don't need your money.
they have a team at Microsoft whose job is to reach out to ISVs and to go to them and try to help them build these apps or pay for the apps
built. We can disagree with the strategy all the time.
Judy from Microsoft. Is Larry Page in?
Sure.
No, still not there, huh? Okay. Well, I'll call again tomorrow. All right. Bye. That's got to be a terrible job.
Yeah, not a fun job, maybe.
Hey, we're just calling about that Windows Phone thing again. How's that coming along? Hello?
Really, just driving the dagger right here.
But the good news is, day after tomorrow, you get your 950. Microsoft's going to sell the XL on their site, right?
Yep.
Direct?
Right.
Yep.
Is that unlocked? I don't know what's going on with this stuff all around the world. In the United States, it's AT&T for the 950.
Yeah.
It's only AT&T.
Right.
It is locked to AT&T.
Eesh.
And on the Microsoft store, you can buy the AT&T version of the 950 or the unlocked version of the 950.
Oh, there is an unlocked. So I could use it on T-Mobile or travel and use it at GSM market.
I would need to look up. I actually got some information about this.
Right.
It really has to do with the bands that it supports. Yep. Yeah, so obviously it's not going to work on Verizon or Sprint in the United States, but... GSM, it should work. I'm not sure on T-Mobile 4G LTE, but I would think so.
Okay.
But no Verizon.
No.
Sorry, Mary Jo. Your icon's a nice phone. You can stick with that.
It is a nice phone.
Stick with
it. It is.
Sure.
Apparently
you're
people...
using the BlackBerry. You can't make fun of an old
phone. I'm not using the BlackBerry yet. I ordered the BlackBerry. I ordered the Priv because, you know what?
Does it have that little ball thing where you can move the mouse around?
No.
You know,
it's got a slide-out keyboard,
like a cue ball in the middle of the phone.
Yeah,
You know what? I think that that was the, remember the,
like,
the
like a roll-on antiperspirant that a woman would use?
No, I don't want the pearl. They call that the
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, no. But remember the scroll wheel, the original BlackBerry, that great scroll wheel? That was an amazing thing in its day.
Yep.
No, I, you know, I will have the Priv soon. I don't.
People, by the way, 1.7% for Windows Phone, but what was BlackBerry?
It
was 0.3% or 0.03%. It was one of the two.
But I'm seeing reviews like, I'm in love with the BlackBerry again. Looks like this is a keeper. Positive reviews. People are loving the camera.
I see.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I can't bring myself to get a 950. I'm sorry. I feel bad. Please don't yell at me.
No, we're not. After you bricked your last phone, we're not mad.
I still have a Lumia 1520. That's enough.
You're the only person on this earth who's ever broken a 1520.
I know. I know.
Everyone in the audience is like, actually, that's probably not true.
No, I love my 1520. That was a great phone. Outlook Mail. Linked inboxes, once again.
Yeah,
back.
That's good.
Yeah, as I mentioned in my post, I'm not going to write about or talk about every single time a Windows Phone or Windows app gets updated. But this one's kind of a big deal because if you've been using Windows Phone, you know that the Mail app on that platform supports linked inboxes. So you have multiple accounts. You can put them all together, access them all at the same time. It works great. And then with the Outlook Mail and Calendar and People app that they have in Windows 10 Mobile, these things were created again from scratch. They don't have some of the features we're used to from old versions. And one of those features was linked inboxes. They didn't have it. But just, I think this past week, a couple of days ago, they added the feature. So it's back. And that's, I'm not saying this is like a key Windows Phone differentiator. Obviously, other platforms support this well. But it's kind of a neat thing. If you've been using Windows Phone and want to move up to Windows 10 Mobile, I think this is one thing that people will expect to have. And now it's there. So they did finally bring it back.
Yeah. People are mad.
Speaking of Windows 10 Mobile, maybe we'll see a build today.
Oh, right. Of course.
Maybe. Gabe's hinting that it's sunny with a chance of build.
Ah.
The reason he said that, somebody asked him about his forecast for the possibility of a new build today. And he didn't explicitly say phone, but the assumption is that it would be hilarious if what they put out was a new build of Windows 10 for PCs or something. But I think it's going to be a phone build, and I think it will be the final phone build, right?
Oh, really? They're that close?
We believe it'll be the RTM, which we're not supposed to call RTM anymore. Right. But yeah, we think it's that one.
Wow.
And we think it's the same build number as the PC, right?
Yeah, 10586.
10586,
They're all in sync now.
Yep. I mean, think about it. You'd think they're going to RTM Windows 10 Mobile before the phones go on sale on Friday.
I mean, people have apparently pre-ordered this phone and gotten it in the mail today.
Oh, really? So they have it?
Yeah, a couple have.
People are getting them. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The 950, not the XL.
Right.
Okay, never mind. I got to have this next.
Oh, Leo. Enjoy your hard brick keyboard. Your little rollerball, if that's there.
It's Android, so at least it will run Snapchat. I mean, it's hard for me to justify a phone that won't do the fundamental things I need to do.
All right.
Right.
You see, that wasn't just like a dagger in the back. That was like a poison-coated dagger that is guaranteed like a slow death.
Yeah. Agony. You know? Agonizing. Yeah. Sorry. Hey, what can I say?
No.
Let's take a break so you can mourn and have some more have some more beer. Our show today brought to you by Lynda.com, the place to go if you're listening to this show, you listen to our shows, you like to learn, you're a lifelong learner, you're curious, you're a problem solver. This is a great place for you because you can learn and you don't have to, I like to say, you don't have to declare a major. When you subscribe to Lynda.com, you've got access to all of their courses. How many is it now? More than 3,000 courses in every area of technology and business and even creative stuff like photography. Arts and crafts movement. See, it's really great. And you can learn on iOS, on Android, on Windows, on the desktop. It is remarkable. Get essential training. Swift Essential Training, Sales Secrets for Small Businesses. course, they completely cover the Microsoft waterfront. New courses include Excel tips up and running with Word 2016, essential training for QuickBooks Pro 2016. There's a weekly series on communication tips, which can help you hone your communication skills to deal with difficult people, Paul, influence others, and confidently speak in public at a moment's notice, just as you are doing right now. At a moment's notice. Lynda.com is the place to go right now and try it. They are going to give you a 10-day free trial. You go there, look at the library, and look at just the variety of subjects. 52 courses in drawing. See, I want to learn how to draw. There you go. 297 courses in 3D animation. 196 courses in audio and music. 846 business courses. 198 CAD courses. 430 courses for developers. 171 courses in education and e-learning. I can go on and on. More than 3,000 courses in any subject you'd be interested in. 10-day free trial right now. Lynda, LYNDA.com/windows. If you're into photography, man, it's the place for some great stuff on Photoshop and taking pictures. And look at this, 97 courses on camera, 70 courses on raw processing alone. All the courses come with transcripts, so you can search right into the course. They're broken up so you can watch little chunks at a time. Photographing the wintry coast of New Zealand. What fun. I've learned a lot by watching the pros work on Lynda.com. Pixel Playground from Burt Monroy, that's the best. Joseph Lanashke is the DIY photographer. There's so many good courses. My buddy Ben Long. Deke McClellan does courses there. A lot of people we've had on our shows. Jan Kabili. Great stuff. LYNDA.com/windows. Try it free right now. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. They're in Manchester for, what was the conference again? I forgot.
Stacked. 2015.
Stacked 2015. And you're having a good time. What's tomorrow?
Drinking.
Yes, tomorrow. Tomorrow we are visiting Manchester pubs of good repute.
Oh, fun.
With good repute.
I'd go to the old ones of ill repute, frankly. That'd be more fun. When did you do your meetup already, or is that coming up still?
That's Friday. This Friday in Camden at the World's End, and if anyone's in London, Friday night.
Oh, I love Camden Town. That's one of my favorite areas of London. Office, the Insider Program, is here.
Dun, da, da, da.
Da, da.
Yes. So just like Windows, did I just say that? Windows Insiders. Now there is Office Insiders program. And this is for consumers, not for business customers. Business customers already had something called the First Release program in Office. So if you're an Office 365 home or personal or university subscriber, and you want to get a heads up a couple of weeks early on some of the new features that are coming to Office, you can enter your application to be in the program and be an Office Insider. Right now, it's U.S. only, but they said in a few weeks, it'll be worldwide. So it's not going to stay U.S. only forever. And a couple of the first things that you're going to get to see if you join this program are some new add-ins that Microsoft's making to PowerPoint 2016. There's two new design tools. One's called Designer. One's called Morph. Designer is kind of like a set of templates that you're going to be able to use to build more beautiful PowerPoints.
Well, it's actually sort of a wizard where you throw a photo or a graphic.
Okay.
And it gives you a choice of 10 themes based on that, the colors and whatnot.
And there's 2,000 templates too, though, aren't there? Or 2,000, what do they call those?
I can't remember.
You know that.
Yeah.
So that's meant to help you make better looking PowerPoints. Morph is like cinemagraphic animation, right?
Yeah. Transitions.
Transitions.
PowerPoint needs this, to be clear. PowerPoint is kind of sitting on its laurels for a while.
So these
are important.
Yeah,
and these are required that you have to be in the Insider program. Is that right?
You'll just get to see them first if you're in the Insider program. But some of these reminded me of Sway and the way Microsoft does Sway and updates Sway and helps you design. So it's interesting to see that cross-fertilization there. And you, if you're in the Insider program, you'll get to test some of the new things coming with Excel and OneNote. I think they announced already the online video embedding in OneNote Online. You'll be an early tester on that, too.
Okay.
So, yeah, why not? Why not be in there? Are you, Mr. Thorhut?
I am.
See?
I am.
Yep.
I wish I weren't.
I don't like my computer to be too stable.
I wish I weren't on the Windows Insider program on this Dell. I would like to just go to the release version and stay there.
Yeah.
But I have to.
Well, right now you are right. So
it's 15.11 came out now, but I would like to stop.
Yeah.
Let's stop.
Well, you can turn it off.
Yeah, I have to kind of. I don't know. Maybe I can now, but before I had to like rebuild the thing.
Oh, no, you can sign up.
It said you got to do this thing, and I tried to do this thing, and then the thing didn't do the thing. Under the advanced options, I pressed, I don't want this anymore.
This is where we make technology clear for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I said, okay, so stop. Okay, now it says, so to stop, this is why I'm not going to do it on the Office. Stop Insider preview. Need to stop receiving for a while. Pick a time. No. I don't want to ever stop ever. Never, ever, ever.
Okay, it's like the mafia, Leo. They don't want to let you go.
Exactly. We need you to do a few things to stop receiving builds.
Mm-mm. Right.
Okay. How do I opt my device out of the Insider Preview build? So I click that button. Brings up go to your Insider Preview build settings and advanced options, which I just did, right?
Which is what you just did, yeah.
Stop Insider builds. That's what I just did. If you're unable to opt out,
yep.
Use one of the
this
recovery
images. This is like the basic program that is like line 10,
so
go to
it's
10.
It's a go-to. So as far as I can tell, the only thing I can do based on this loop was to use a recovery image, which I don't want to do. I want to.
No. You should be able to sign up. What happens at that dialogue that you were just looking at?
It brings me to this page. That's what I'm telling you.
The blue.
Yeah.
What does the button say?
Cancel. We need you to do a few things to stop receiving builds.
Oh, I see. Press cancel.
Press cancel.
I'm getting advice from the audience.
Now press stop Insider Preview builds. Okay, need to stop receiving builds for a while. Pick a time. No. Need to stop getting builds permanently. Yeah.
Leo.
Yeah.
Leo.
What?
Leo.
Yeah.
There's a drop down box. It's kind of black.
So I can stop it for 1 day, 3 days, or 5 days.
Oh.
So no, that's not the one I want. I want to stop receiving them forever.
Leo.
We need you to do it.
Is there anything
things.
Else I can help you with today?
I'm in a loop, Paul. I'm in a loop.
Your call is important to me.
I'm in a loop, Paul. So anyway, that's why I am still. So Mike, advice to you, my friends. Unless you're sure you want to be in the Insider program, think twice.
This is a company that is installing Windows 10 on people's computers that don't want it. Why do you think they would ever let you get out of it?
That can't really be happening. Is that really happening? That's not. It's just a few, like an oddball. Something went wrong. A bit went wrong.
That's one story, you know? I was told it was a conspiracy theory, but I know people that this has happened to.
Oh, no. I've heard that it's happened to people, but I'm just wondering. They must have. This is the problem. And they woke up middle of the night. They pressed the button. Then they went back to sleep and forgot it. Something like that.
I'm just trying to see if I can do
it. You can't prove that didn't happen.
I don't think you saw what we all just saw. So could we just move on?
Eventually at some point I will do a rebuild on this. And
by the way, it says fast, not fact. Go to slow ring. Then you'll never get an update.
Oh, maybe I should just do that. I could just go to the slow ring. That's true. That's not a big deal.
By the way, that's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, well.
I was on the fast ring. Now I'm going to be on the slow ring. There you go. I turned. At least that'll slow it down. But I still feel like. So at this point with 586 or whatever it is, 565, what is the current 586?
586, yeah. Actually, click the button to stop it again. And
no, let's not go back through this. Trust me,
no, I feel like this time we're going to get it.
Oh, you and me both, buddy. All right. Let's take a look one more time on this process. So I go to the update, and I go to the advanced options, get Insider Preview builds. Now, I did turn it to slow, but maybe I should stop entirely. Oh, here's that blue box.
No. Okay, just click apply.
Apply? Apply what? Okay.
You're stopping.
No, it still says you're all set to receive Insider build stop.
Leo. Is there anything else I can help you with today? I don't know.
So I think what the apply is, is apply for 1, 3, or 5 days. I don't know. Let's do it. It still says I'm getting them. You know, you're all set to receive insider preview builds. Thank you.
This is like the visual F-disk tool I made with Delphi that was just a joke application that no matter what you did, it would try to rewrite your entire hard drive.
That's a good idea. We need you to do a few things to stop receiving builds.
No.
You've done more than a few things.
Yeah. How do I opt out? Well, you do what you just did.
That's amazing.
I'm not making this stuff up, folks.
Could I interest you in a Mac?
You know, the inside, it's pretty stable, right? And now that I've moved it to slow, it's probably going to be fine. My Surface Book, by the way, that's why I didn't do the Insider on the Surface Book. And so the only reason I'm bringing it up is, that's great. They now have Office Insider. Think hard before you sign up for this stuff because it's hard to get out of it, maybe. Maybe
right,
not.
Right.
Maybe they won't have
How many times you got to hit yourself in the face before you realize?
Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. You know, it may not, I guess with Office, it's not like an operating system. You could just reinstall Office. It's not a big deal. It's not the end of the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
They say, somebody in the chat room is saying, well, the issue is you can't just stop insider builds. You'd be stuck on a random build. What would that do? Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Actually, of course you could. I mean, this is broken. You're supposed to be able to stop at any time.
Well, I'm still downloading 586. Once 586 installs, maybe then.
I don't know. I just experienced exactly the same thing on this computer. So.
Oh, it's doing that for you too.
Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe once I'm on 586, maybe life.
This was funny before it happened to me. And now it's like. Oh, wait a minute. Actually, Leo.
Yeah?
Let's do it one more
time.
No!
Okay.
This is the... Okay. When go back to the dialogue box.
First time
box
I click the button that says, was this page...
The dark blue, whatever, dropped out. I seriously think we're going to get it this time.
Yeah, okay.
It requires a little bit of reading.
I've been reading this, but maybe...
No, I'm not blaming you. Let's go next.
So let's see. Okay, so privacy... Stop insider preview builds. Okay, big blue box.
On the left, below the box, it says something about permanently canceling.
Stop receiving insider preview builds. That one?
Tap that.
Yeah. We need you to do a few things.
Okay, all right. So I'm not seeing that. So when I tap on that, I have a confirmed dialogue that you're not...
I bet you when I get to 586, this will turn into that. Maybe. I'm hoping. It doesn't matter. It's not the end of the world. I have a Surface Book that's doing the thing. So it makes sense. This is my Dell that
I think
should
it's
be
because
the...
you're in the middle of installing something, Leo.
And no, it's been that way. It's been that way for a while. But now I'm thinking once the November update is installed, it'll all be well and good. We'll see.
Two things. I'm glad that you still call it the autumn update. I like that. And is there
never
anything else I can help you with
update
today?
No, thank you. You've been great. Can I give you 5 stars?
Leo, you may get a call later. Someone's going to ask you about how well I provided customer support today. Really appreciate it if you gave a 5 is better than a 1.
5 stars. Do you think anybody ever looks at that stuff? They must, because they are so anxious to get those 5 stars. It must be like their job is on the line. PowerPoint getting major improvements. You want to talk about that a little bit, or did we already? I can't remember.
We glossed over it.
First time I've seen it.
That's the one with the templates, right? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you say template or template?
Template.
That's what I said.
What do you say here in the UK? You must have some awesome pronunciation. Template. I guess that we all say it the same way.
They say plate or plit?
Plit.
I get every time I say template. How do Canadians say it?
Sorry, they were a little angry about that one. apparently, it's template.
It's well, I get angry tweets all the time.
Yes.
And all I do
you guys
is
know you don't control the language anymore, right?
It's over. It's ours now. Thank you. No, I actually go to what
apparently
do I
that
go
was
to?
News. News
the today. Oxford English Dictionary, the OED, the greatest dictionary of all time. And it says template or template.
Template.
Either, but plate is preferred. No, plit is preferred.
Plit.
Ask them how they say Worcestershire.
Sure. Actually, I have a better question. How do you say egg that is what I would call sunny side up? you would call that?
Fried egg.
This country is whacked, Leo.
No. The best thing, English breakfasts are the best thing in the world.
Oh, totally.
You get a cold tomato that's been at some point cooked.
Don't forget the cold beans.
And then and the beans, baked beans. And then they've designed a toast rack that is designed perfectly to aerate the toast and chill it as fast as possible.
Yes. Yep. And then it's important that the butter you apply to that bread be refrigerated so that what you're eating is a ball of butter that has a little bit of brown on it.
But I am drinking, I'm happy to say, Yorkshire Gold, so thank you very much.
Now listen, blood sausage is the best.
PG tips or Yorkshire Gold?
Yorkshire Gold in a...
Yeah, I love Yorkshire Gold.
Coffee.
It's as strong as coffee, Yorkshire Gold. It's like coffee in a cup.
Is that like a Yukon Gold? Is it a potato?
No, Yorkshire Gold. All right, moving right along. Xbox One, the moment you've all been waiting for, the new Xbox. We talked last week about it.
We did, yes. We both just like the Windows 10. There goes we actually, now. Sometimes we run out of ideas and we just throw you last week's notes again.
Yeah. Guys, oh, half works. Hour on Xbox cabling last week. Haven't we done enough?
Okay. Oh, I got it. By the way, the answer to fill that in. No, we haven't done enough. To finish that conversation.
Mary Jo is a little burned about the length of our conversation regarding the wireless adapter.
You guys were right. It was a USB cable and a controller.
Yes.
So I got the whole Megillah. So thank you. But just
do we need to go over the various scenarios one would use either of these solutions?
No.
No.
I have come to like and appreciate the new UI. It took a while.
Yep.
But once you know that very key thing where the right
triggers
thumb
and the
triggers
yeah.
is really makes a big difference. Left trigger goes up, right trigger goes down. That's a very big deal.
Yes, yeah, nice.
Anything else?
Also, Leo, I should mention while we're on Xbox, and I know you want to keep going on this topic. I did prestige in Call of Duty Black Ops 3 last week, so I just want you to know that's out of the way.
Did you do it right after the show? Were you pissed? And you said,
I wanted desperately to do it before the first.
I didn't do it, so he did. All right.
I had to, you know, basically ignore my family and work for a week just to get this to happen. So,
well,
you know,
maybe,
a lot of...
maybe you can help me, Paul. And Mary Jo, this is only going to take a minute. I seem to have lost my dog in Fallout 4. Has anybody seen... He's called Dog Meat. It's a terrible name. I didn't name him. Has anybody seen Dog Meat?
The dog from Call of Duty?
Yeah, no.
He's,
no, not,
he's in
4.
Ghosts.
He might have gone into Ghosts because he's not in Fallout 4 anymore.
No.
Well, I traded him for the robot with the flame coming out of his butt. But now I can't find him anymore.
Know, in any other context, this would be nonsense words.
I'll tell you why. Know. If you've got your dog, you go back to the overseer's office inside the shelter, and apparently one of the best guns in the game is locked in that safe. It's too hard for me to unlock because I haven't prestiged or whatever you call it. But the dog, apparently, if you just say find stuff, will open the safe. The dog can open the safe and get that gun out. So I just want to find my dog again. So has anybody
and then you
seen
turn around
dog
and the dog's
meat?
Not – he's gone. He's just gone. Is that what happened? Your dog is gone?
No, I traded him for the robot, foolishly.
You traded your dog for a robot? Leo, what's next? Your firstborn son? I mean, what?
Oh, no, you've already
but it was a nice car.
That's the plot of Fallout 4. They steal your firstborn son and shoot your wife. And now you've got to find your firstborn son. That's the whole plot.
So you kill the dog, or you give away the dog?
No, I gave away the dog. I shouldn't have, because the robot is terrible.
There's a life lesson here, Leo. Never trade your dog for a flame spouting robot.
All right, that's our Xbox One segment. Thank you, Mary Jo, for your patience. We shall continue in moments. Somebody's saying, when did Windows Weekly add a laugh track? I like
it. Like Lenny and Squiggy walk in the door. Hello, everybody.
Let's pretend. Okay, wait a minute.
Norm.
I wish we could do this, that you guys would like walk off stage and then walk back in and everybody go crazy like this as they saw you for the first time. That'd be awesome. That'd be just awesome.
Yeah, it's not going to happen today.
No?
Later,
no. All right. Let's take a break. The back of the book. Everybody's saying my dog is in Sanctuary. Just go back to it. But I've looked everywhere in Sanctuary. I think he's gone. I think he's mad at me. He's probably somewhere where my Windows 10 Insider Preview builds are going. Our show today brought... Wouldn't it be funny if the dog, that would actually be hysterical, brought you a copy of Windows 10 and said, you know, you can install this now. That's what Microsoft should do.
Like the dog and Bob. Remember
yeah.
that?
Yes.
I can see you're trying to.
And Windows XP, the file
yeah.
system dog.
See, you're yeah. trying to find your dog in Sanctuary. Yeah. How about Windows 10 instead? Our show today brought to you by Prosper. The internet's answer to the bank loan. I don't know how it is in England, but when you in the United States, if you need some cash fast, you have some choices. You can go to your buddies down the street, you know, Uncle Louie, and that's probably not a good idea. You can borrow from the credit cards. They may even charge you more in interest. You can put on some pants and go to the bank, but that's a drag. Who wants to put on pants? With Prosper, you can borrow as much as $35,000. And get it in as few as 5 days, and you don't have to get up from your computer. In fact, if you go right now to prosper.com/windows, simple form, just a few questions. They'll tell you what your interest rate would be, how much you can borrow. It will not affect your good credit to fill it out. Find out. The whole idea of this is that people who have, and it's, by the way, it's an excellent investment. I've heard from a lot of people who are lenders on Prosper and who say this is really, even and especially in a down market, a great time. So people who have money to lend, investors, are kind of matchmakes with people who need money to borrow. And, of course, Prosper handles it all. And there's, you know, for legal reasons, there's a bank that stamps it and all that stuff. But essentially, that's how it works. It's a peer-to-peer lending marketplace. The first in the United States. And it's just fantastic. So go to prosper.com. Fill out the form. Actually, prosper.com/windows. You can borrow up to $35,000 in as few as 5 days. Pay off your high-rate credit cards would be a great thing to do with this. Fix up your house. Start your business. Whatever it is that you need. Prosper.com/windows. This is the internet's answer to the bank loan or the credit card loan. And, you know, kind of like Airbnb or Uber, they're just doing it better. Prosper.com/windows. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. They are at the Stacked Conference in Manchester, England, and they are on stage with a massive audience that is enjoying the show. Good to have you all.
It's a middling.
A fair to middling audience.
Leo, can we take some questions from the audience?
Oh, yeah, we got plenty of time. This would be a great thing to do. Yeah, sure.
Also, is Mancunian really the term?
Yeah.
Mancunian?
I say Mancusian. I don't know what that means. But Mancunian, yeah. You're Mancunians. Yeah. It's from the Latin.
So how do we do Q&A? How's that going to work?
Just have
is there a mic or anything? Or you guys just want to shout it out?
Look, there's a picture of a dark audience.
Right.
Wave. Hello. Oh, the lights are on.
No, turn off the lights.
Now we see all the empty seats. Yeah. They're blinded. Okay. Are there any Manchurians in the audience?
I guess we can repeat it if we can't hear it.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, we can repeat the question.
Yeah, we can repeat
okay.
the question.
All right. Yeah. Who has a question? Yes, sir. Let me turn. Oh.
We have some cool prizes for people who ask questions. We have some Twitch
That's
shirts.
True. That's true. Yes, sir. Let me see if I can. There he is. No, it's just Windows 11.
So repeat that because we didn't hear
it. Oh, sorry. He asked about the 950XL, whether it has a fingerprint reader as well as a Windows Hello camera. And the 950 and the 950XL both only have the camera.
Okay. Looks like God is coming from the heavens up there. That's
yes.
That's quite amazing. Wow. All right.
Does anybody else have a question? It got really dark.
It got dark. Now we can't see who's asking.
I guess not.
Come on. In the back. Good looking bunch.
Sorry.
He asked, does groove music have a future?
Good question. We were talking about this on the show the other day where we were saying we're not really sure where that fits in with Microsoft's portfolio because now they're a productivity and platforms company and it's not a gaming service, right? So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's tough because I write about this stuff a lot. I like music. I like Groove in particular. But when you look at the different services and the way things are consolidating, it seems like the big push now is for Spotify type services that do everything, right?
Right.
They have the radio type stuff, custom playlist. You can download music and take it offline, listen to individual songs, albums, whatever you want. It's like the all-in-one kind of deal. But I think the thing that puts a couple of services over the top, Spotify being the big one, Apple Music is actually pretty good in this regard. And I think Google Music is going to get there, Google Play Music, is really nice curated playlists, you know, intro to certain bands or whatever, that kind of stuff. Top songs of certain years, you know, whatever. Spotify and Apple Music both do a great job of that kind of thing. And Microsoft had Mix Radio, right, from Nokia, and they sold it off. And that gave them that internet radio part of it. And they gave that away, or they sold it. And Microsoft has really shown no interest in doing curated playlists to any degree. So I guess I'd look at Groove like I look at the apps that go into Windows Phone. I'm sorry, I should say Windows 10, which is basic functionality. They're there. You can check it off in the box. We have a music service. But I don't really think it's ever, if you're a serious music fan, I'm not really sure that it will ever be able to compete head-to-head with the top-tier services, you know. It does work everywhere, at least. It's web, it's Xbox, it's all the mobile platforms, obviously Windows and Windows Phone. So I think that part of it's nice. I like the interface, you know, but it's, if you want to discover new music, it's really, it's not up there.
Should you throw him a shirt?
Oh, I should throw him a shirt.
Let's see if watch I can him catch it.
I'll stand up for this.
Oh, God.
Wow.
That's good.
Yikes.
Touchdown.
Okay. I have a question from a Canadian. Is that okay?
What's that?
I have a question from a Canadian in our studio.
Okay, but you have to do it in a Canadian accent.
All right. Is it going, eh? What,
so
what is it you want to know, eh?
Have you ever considered doing a Blackberry style modification?
I want to know why you're making fun of me.
Okay, so would BlackBerry ever want to do a – I mean, Microsoft ever want to do a modification of BlackBerry? What are you talking about? Like, BlackBerry's using Android.
Leo, two turkeys don't make a – what's the phrase again?
Yeah, a buzzard? No, eagle. No, I think that was the idea of the Android Bridge was to allow – but I don't think – I guess the real question is, would Microsoft ever consider putting Android on this Windows?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And what do we think? No.
I think that's...
That would be... It's not the... The hardware business is not the business.
Well,
you think it's a possibility?
They don't have to do it, right? They can partner with companies like Samsung and Dell and whoever else and have them essentially make a Microsoft Android phone where the Microsoft apps are the defaults or on the home screen, that kind of thing. And the way things are going with Google and antitrust, it's distinctly possible that one or more regions of the world will require them to decouple those apps from the OS and allow OEMs to put their own apps as the defaults. Right. And so that opens up an interesting set of possibilities for Microsoft and for other companies like Samsung.
Yeah. So you're thinking a phone without Android as the OS, but Android apps.
I'm losing track of where these conversations occur, but when you think about Lumias or Microsoft phones of the future, whether it's a Surface phone or whatever, or what comes after that,
right?
You know, at some point, Microsoft, someone said today, and correctly, Microsoft doesn't want to be in the business of making the phones,
right?
They got rid of all of the factories.
It's not about the hardware for them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
and
software.
Right. But at some point, they don't even have to, you know, be involved in that process at all, I guess. If things go south enough, they could have their mobile apps and other platforms and have other companies bundle those apps for them.
Yeah.
Right.
These are just ideas.
I mean, hypothetical.
Yeah, we don't know what they're doing.
Who else?
Any other questions?
Right.
Oh, we can't see him, but our resident IoT fan asks.
There's an IoT fan in the audience. Do we have any news on IoT? So you mean like Windows 10? Anything? Yeah. I talked a little bit about this afternoon in my talk where I was saying you know, I think there's different factions in Microsoft with different ideas and agendas about IoT. Whoa.
Trippy.
What's happening?
It's like the ghost of Bill Gates at Macworld in 1997. We're going to bill you, stupid company. What could go wrong?
But Paul, I don't know. Do you have any knowledge?
I look at IoT as far as a Windows 10 strategy as just being, you know, one of the checkboxes. You know, want to make Windows 10 or Windows be more than just PCs. And obviously phones haven't taken off in a meaningful way, but they have phones, they have tablets. They have these new devices, HoloLens and Surface Hub, and they have, you know, IoT, and that brings Windows everywhere. And it's just another way to extend the value of that universal app platform. And, you know, when they talk about 1.5 or whatever it was, 1 billion devices or whatever, obviously a very easy way to get to that number would be to have Windows be in Windows and not Linux be embedded in little tiny devices all over the world. So it's just more of a general thing, nothing specific strategy-wise.
Should give him a shirt. He's been a thorn in our side all day.
Give him a shirt with an embedded device.
Shirt I sent you too small. Yeah, why don't we trade that? Because that's kind of a small girl shirt.
Well,
give it to the IoT guy. It'll fit.
Sorry, I give you this one. And then there are no small girls here. So we have...
You got a case of small girl shirts. Great.
No, we only get one small shirt. We have a nice big shirt here. Woo!
Okay.
What are the shirts? Show us the shirts that you're giving away.
So we have all different shirts.
You guys sent us a lot of good shirts.
Oh, these are from Twitch us. Shirts.
Yeah, you guys sent them.
Oh, yeah, I love that one. That's a beautiful
this
one.
This big one.
Leo, I don't know who this one was for, but...
Did we really send you small girls?
Is that an Internet Explorer shirt?
No, there was
shirt?
One oh, small, good. But the rest are all sizable. Yep, there's this one, too. The 10th anniversary shirt.
Yeah. Good.
There's some people over here with questions. How about this one?
Yes.
What can Microsoft learn from its competitors, especially in the mobile environment?
Well, lots. I mean, I think they've already learned some. It's interesting because Apple in particular, but Google as well, has seen great success taking simple mobile systems and moving them upstream. You know, we talked about this a lot on the show, and Microsoft's coming from the opposite direction because Windows started off on the desktop PC. There's a compelling argument to be made for either side of that case, I think, but obviously... You can't beat the numbers. I mean, Android, iOS, all those devices, it's billions and billions. And, you know, Windows devices, there are 1.5 billion out there. But when you look at the sales over the past few years, it's small numbers of hundreds of millions on the PC side and over a billion.
Those of you watching at home, Paul is actually the voice of God descending.
God is calling you.
Upon this guy in a white shirt. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It looks good. Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, sweet mystery of life.
St. Peter, you have a question? That's funny.
All right. Well,
should we throw that guy a shirt? We have some shirts.
Can you do it?
Get rid of those damn shirts.
I don't know. Am I going to throw like a girl? Maybe.
You throw like a girl.
There's another question over there.
Yes. Yeah. Right, OneDrive for OneDrive. Business Selective Sync. Actually, I thought it did. I thought that just happened. Yeah, I think it did get it. Yeah, available in preview.
Right, it's the unification of the sync engines that's still not there.
Well, I guess the big question is whether they will offer businesses the chance to have unlimited storage or more storage. They still have not announced that. But I think that is available in preview. I think that came out sometime in the past month.
Did it? Yeah, actually, right.
And I think you're depending if you get Office 365 as an for business as an individual, you can opt into it. And if it's if you get it through work or whatever, your IT admin would have to opt in. I believe. Does anybody know that to be the case? Is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Shirt.
Yeah, it's right.
It is one giant shirt.
That you get
you want a big shirt? Oh boy, I'll let you through it.
Easy one.
Yeah.
XNA5.
I don't know.
Not,
do you?
Is there going to be an XNA5? Yeah. Okay. it's going to be whenever the next Silverlight for Windows Phone release, probably. Yeah. Yes. Do either of us regret buying Surface Book? So, yeah. So, actually, neither one of us have actually purchased these, right?
I don't regret it. I love it.
You can.
Yeah, I'm very happy with it.
All right, so I'm in a weird spot with Surface Book because I had to get a second one. The first one was very unreliable, and it was a pre-production unit, so you kind of give Microsoft a pass on that one, although I have to mention it. I'm not going to hide that. The second, this one, which is a production unit, has issues too. And a lot of people are seeing these issues out in the real world. Surface Pro 4, too, is seeing some, not as bad, but some issues. Issues related to power management, which I think are tied to Windows Hello because it's cleaned up, turning off Windows Hello has cleaned up a lot of that. There are issues related to the display driver, which annoyingly, when it crashes, says Intel, whatever it is, blah, 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 for Windows 8. It's like, really? You know, in a brand new Surface Book, it's kind of tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the reason this is a problem is that this is a premium device. It's very expensive. There are people who are arguing at launch, it's new, but Microsoft's been doing this for years now. They really get it. Panos Panessa, we've been making keyboards, for 20 years, whatever. You're taking a bit of a leap of faith here, aren't you, when you adopt this kind of a product and spend a lot of money, and then it doesn't work correctly. And I do really feel like a few... firmware updates are going to do it. And Microsoft actually said this week they'll have a firmware update for the Surface Book, and I think for Surface Pro 4 that will hopefully fix these problems. But, we've been kind of down this road. Surface Pro 3, remember, had wireless issues that every month they were going to fix in some firmware update, and it didn't ever actually, I don't think, fix it. So it's tough. And so I've actually held off writing a review of this second unit, and now I'm thinking I just have to do it. Unfortunately, what it comes down to is I really like it. I'm okay with it. I use it every day. It works. It does work. But would I spend that much money on this thing? And could I recommend this to other people? Unfortunately, the answer to both is no, I can't. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And actually, this might be particular to me, but this has happened three or four times now. I can't really demonstrate this very well, but you kind of accept that the screen pops off. When she did that demo during her talk, Mary Jo, I looked down at the corner because I've seen a problem where I can see light in there, and it's becoming separated. And I saw it again. So it's the third or fourth time. I don't remember. And when you push down, it clicks in, and somehow it has become a little disconnected, which is weird because I never take the screen off, ever. So it may be particular to this one, but this is a brand new type of computer. It's got a brand new type of latch. It's a whole new design. I want it to work, and I want to be able to recommend it, and I find myself being very unsure of it.
I'd say wait for version 2 or 3.
It stinks. I mean, it's beautiful, Well, you may.
Exactly.
Because you guys are looking at was it April or something next year? Yeah. So maybe they'll fix it. There'll be a rev on the hardware that will fix some of these issues. I don't know. But it's a lot of money. These are expensive machines. Sorry.
I like it because I never use it. So,
It is pretty,
I like it. I really do like it for the most part. I've been using it as my daily machine for about a month and a half almost now. And I mean, it's really solid. My only big issue is the lappability, as I've said before. But the keyboard's amazing. It's really nice hardware, really solidly designed. I haven't had the overheating thing. I've had the Intel driver thing.
Since I turned up Windows Hello.
I think if you detach the screen, it really confuses the hell out of it.
Because
why would a feature of the system not confuse the system?
Well, when you're pulling off the GPU, it's like, what should I do now? And the driver, I noticed the driver does crash, but that's a software. That's error. That's fixable.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any hardware errors. I really love having a stylus and a touch screen. It's a gorgeous laptop.
I use it docked to my desktop system.
Yeah, and I got the dock.
95%-ish of the time. And actually, every once in a while, there's a little icon in the tray. I don't know why I'm looking up there. You can't see it. But it's a little, one of the tray icons. And it's for the Surface Detach feature. And so if I wanted to detach the screen, I could press that button or I could press a hardware button to make it happen. Every once in a while, I'll look down and that thing will be red.
Right.
When you hover over it, it says hardware error. You can fix it by rebooting. Which is what I want to do.
I think you have a loose connector in your screen there.
Yeah,
I don't think that's normal. I think there's something wrong. I would bring it back and say, what's wrong? Because I haven't seen that happen.
I don't know. It's what can I do? It's just I wouldn't buy one for my use too. I mean, just aside from the problems, I really just want to, like you said, an Ultrabook. And the detachable screen doesn't do anything for me. So
I think the fair comment is you could probably get something similar for a lot less from another manufacturer. And so, I mean,
yeah, or spend as much and get a ThinkPad X1 Carbon or a high end. The Samsung makes beautiful 15-inch Ultrabooks.
I think love Asus. The pen and I love the touch. And I think if you get as soon as you get stuff. To touch like this Dell, you're gonna it's there. You're now at $1,500, maybe $1,600. You're paying a premium. There's no question about it for the Surface Book. It's a couple of $300 premium because it's Microsoft, I guess. I think you do have to think about the cost. That's completely legitimate.
I like the idea of it. I like what they're trying to do with premium machines. I like that they're trying to raise the average price of computers after a decade of, you know, down the hill we go to $100, netbooks and stuff.
Right.
It's probably as capable as this, you know, I mean, this Dell is probably as capable, but it's just not as inspiring. It's just, I just, the Surface Book just looks and feels beautiful. And this is very utilitarian looking.
Yeah. Obviously, they could have done a traditional convertible and the thing could have just flipped over like the rest of them do. And it could have been like a big, heavy tablet that doesn't come apart. But they're trying to create some new product.
You know, somebody who was in the studio, who shall remain nameless, who works at Microsoft, said, you know, because of the detachable screen, it's reported under a different division than a laptop would be.
A difference.
It's a device, not a laptop. Paraphrasing him, but maybe Mary Jo, you would know better. But the detachable screen put it in another category from Microsoft's reporting point of view.
Huh.
And that was apparently a desirable feature. In other words, I mean, it was clear if you read the Wired article with Panos Panay that they didn't want to make a laptop an ultrabook. They wanted to make something unique.
Yeah.
And they spent a lot of energy, maybe wasted energy, on making this detachable screen. And a lot of the compromises on the hardware are because you have a giant, heavy, detachable screen on the top. So maybe there was an additional accounting reason why they wanted to do that. I don't know, or divisional reason.
The very notion of we're trying to invent a product category is fairly arbitrary, right? Mm. Are you, like, you know, in other words, are you answering a need or are you just trying to invent a new product category? You know, I think they did it successfully with Surface, particularly with the Pro devices and the, you know, Surface 3 as well.
See, that never appealed to me. I wanted this instead of a Surface because I wanted a laptop.
No, I say that not meaning that I wanted it, but I think there's a segment of the population that wants it. Yeah. Whereas this kind of thing, it's, you know, I think most people look at this and say, if this was just an ultrabook, it'd be perfect, you know.
Well, then buy a Dell or buy a Lenovo. I mean, there are plenty of ultrabooks on the market. That's not a...
Sure.
I think that Acer S7 that you and I have, Mary Jo, is a beautiful computer.
The HP Envy X360 is a great machine as well. It's kind of in this class.
So it would have, if Microsoft had done that, it'd been a Me Too product.
They didn't want to do.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And there are consequences to.
But if there's no new category to be invented, then don't just invent. You know, don't invent one arbitrarily.
Paul, that's what's going on right now in the tech industry. Is we're all pretty happy with what we got. They have to find new stuff. They have to make up new stuff because nobody's saying, you know, if only you would.
Right. Right.
It's fine. It's good. I like my phone.
You can detach the screen and it takes off like a drone.
I wish. Probably would be a bad idea, but it would pop off, like it would jump, like a toaster. It should.
Right.
What?
I'm sure this is a bad idea, but you have to kind of pry it off still. It's hard to get off.
Yeah, it is hard to remove it. It, like, sometimes only comes off halfway.
And I would be happy if I pressed the button, held my hands like this, and I went boing, and I caught it. That would be cool. I wanted to do that.
It's a game of chance.
Well, I know why they didn't do that, but I'm just saying. That's something.
It would still be inventing a category.
Right. The pop-off screen. do you want to do, Paul, your tip of the week? Because actually it is very timely. Why don't you turn that camera
around? We have 15 minutes left. We lose the auditorium at 9 o'clock. So I guess
the performance
is fantastic.
Turn the camera around. I want to see you. I've been seeing this lovely audience. Nothing wrong with that.
I took my pants off while the video was reversed.
I love how the rapture is occurring each time we show the audience.
Right.
Yeah.
So the tip of the week involves that. Actually, it says fall update. The November update, or as you call it, the autumn update, which is that some people are not seeing it. And a Microsoft support note says that if you upgraded to Windows 10 in the last 30 days, you won't actually see the November update.
Oh.
I think for another.
Yep.
Oh, interesting. So
That could explain it, I think, in many cases. But regardless, if you're not getting it.
Because you want to get used to the old way? Or?
No, because remember, there's a 31-day rollback period. So if something goes wrong, you can go back to Windows 7 or Windows 8 or whatever. If you know that it's okay and you know that you know what you're doing and you want to upgrade anyway, obviously the solution is simple. You just download the ISO from Windows.com. They've updated it for the – I keep wanting to call it the fall update. They've updated it for the November update. Mm-hmm. And you can upgrade with that, and off you go. And you'll have the update that way.
The ISO is current.
Yes. Good. Yep. They updated it that day very quickly, so it was good.
Right.
Also, just as a side tip, about 4 months ago I mentioned that I was working on a book, and I actually finally finished it. It's only 4 months late, but it is available now. So if you go to leanpub.com/Windows 10 Field Guide, I think it's the full thing, unfortunately. Or just go to LeanPub. It's actually, I think it's right at the top of the list on LeanPub now anyway. You can buy it. We have variable pricing. And everyone who's here today in the room will get a free copy.
Aren't you sweet. Nice.
Even me? No,
you haven't read it yet. It's a terrible book. You should not.
Do I get a free copy?
No, you can't have a free copy.
This is so cool. slider is so cool. Now you get.
Yeah, LeanPub is, you know, it's been an interesting transition to LeanPub, but. That's sort of it's really more than 65. Yeah, right. I'm waiting for Mary Jo to submit her part of the book.
Yeah.
we'll get her. So, as for software, the Ad Duplex guys, you may know them. Every month they come out with usage stats for Windows Phone and sometimes for Windows apps as well. And part of that provides us with information about what phones are actually being used out in the wild. And so we can say, well, the United States or whatever market worldwide, you know, what are the phones that people are really using? And so they've actually come up with their first app. And now they have a Windows app. It's a Windows Universal app. And it's called App Raisin. And it's raisin like the fruit, I guess a raisin is technically just a grape, but it's a... But it also means raising, like raising, app raising. And the idea is that, you know, people always complain about apps on Windows Phone in particular, but also on Windows 10, I would say, Windows 8, Windows 10. And their contention is that actually there are plenty of good apps. It's just that you don't know about them.
Right.
And when you go to the store, it's so lousy about presenting them to you.
Right.
That they've created what is essentially like a kind of a Reddit app where people can upvote things. And what you get is a view of the highest quality apps based on what people really think about them. And App Raisin is free, and you should just check it out if you really want to see what's available on Windows 10 or Windows 10 Mobile. It's a neat little app.
I want these blueprints. Who did those beautiful in the book? You get these beautiful.
Yeah. So Martin McLean is a guy at Microsoft who does still make those kind of Posterpedia type posters. And so when you go to trade shows, you know, Microsoft will give out like a big poster with, you know, Windows Server 2016, all the features, you know, kind of a. In that kind of a mode. And so he did one of those for our book as well. And then did some blueprint posters. Yeah, for Surface Pro 3 and 4.
Really gorgeous.
Wow. Yeah, they're awesome. The posters are great.
Just for the posters. Wow. That's great.
There's also a book. I just, you know.
You could throw the book.
I mean, I've been working on it for like 8 months. But, you know, yeah, the posters are cute.
I love them both. It's a great, the whole thing is great. That's wonderful. And very affordable. We're talking $20. For the whole thing.
With the posters. Yeah, you can, and it's variable pricing, so you could go down from there if you wanted to. If you were cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's clever. That's nice. All right, Paul. Go drink some beer, because it's time for Mary Jo Foley's Enterprise Pick of the Week.
Yeah, this was hard not to tell you guys about this earlier, but SharePoint 2016 Beta 2 came out today. Woo! See, people care.
I just want to point out that was tepid at best.
And also Project Server 2016 Beta 2.
Even better.
Double whammy.
It's not quite a dupe, but it's up there.
This is the on-premises version of SharePoint that's coming out next year. They've already had the first beta come out. And this one just adds some incremental features. They talk about integration with my Microsoft Identity Manager, data loss prevention gets added, profile redirection. So they're just continuing along the path to get the next version of SharePoint out. So there it is. Go get it.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a next version of SharePoint.
And yep. Your code name of the week.
Yeah. Code name of the week is something called Project Deco, D-E-C-O. And what I think this is a Microsoft product called Azure Storage Explorer. And if you want to see more about it, go to storageexplorer.com. On that site, there's a version for OS X. I always say OS X, OS 10 and Windows. You can download those versions. They're in preview. Both are in preview. And the explanation is actually pretty funny. It's a tongue twister. It says, this is a standalone tool to work with your Azure storage accounts. The preview enables you to work with blob storage, create and delete containers, upload, download, and delete blobs, and search across all your containers for your blobs. So there you have it. If
lots
you care
blobs.
About blobs, you might blah, blah, blah. Want this. No, it actually is a storage management tool. So if you have Azure storage accounts and you want to manage them, they say, like a pro, you might want to check this one out, too. Project Deco.
Nice. And finally, I think it would be appropriate to have a beer of the week.
Yes.
With the Mancunians.
For the Mancunians
in studio, yes.
Yes. So I was criticized the other day on Twitter by somebody from England who said that I was choosing
a little bit of a grudge there.
Too many American-style beers from England in my beer picks. So I said, let me pick a more British-style.
In other words, English beers, but made in the style of an American beer.
Right. More and more English beers are being made in the style of American beers because sure. American craft beer is kind of becoming a phenomena. Yeah. Just saying. Manchester Pale Ale is the pick. We have this tonight here. And you know yep. what? If you want an easy drinking pale, not too hoppy, Paul Theroux even drank it. I saw him.
I drank two of them.
He drank
no,
it.
No, I didn't. Wait.
You didn't have that
no,
one.
No, I had.
No. You had the pale, though.
Yep.
Yep. It's from a company here called J.W. Lee's. It's called Manchester Pale. So that's the pick, local pick for a local show where we had awesome live audience.
I don't know what we're going to do next week. Between now and the next
know,
time you see us, we're probably
going to
have 127 different beers.
Oh, we have to give Gary Pretty a shout out from
right.
Mando because he brought us here. He organized this event, and he's been really awesome to work with. So thank you, Gary.
Yay, Gary.
Actually.
Yay. Is he
that's
there?
The
you
back.
Just seek him out? That's the
yeah,
guy on the stairs?
Yeah, he's right there. I see him.
I don't know why I'm pointing
there
at my
screen. There he is.
Yeah, the guy on the stairs.
Blue shirt in the back.
All right. Hi,
he's ready
Gary.
To go drink some beer, I bet.
Yeah. Nice event. Stacked 2015. Looks like a great
yep.
event. And what a great bunch there. It's very nice. I'm glad you guys are having fun. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Tomorrow.
We're all just hanging out so they can rip off my free book.
Get the posters. That's the
yeah,
thing.
Get the,
get
posters.
The posters.
Oh, it is.
Get
yeah, it's the full. It is. It's the. You're right. I should say it's the free. There's two
the
versions
posters.
Of the book. It is the version with all the posters.
Nice. Nice. Those are. They're pings or something that you print. I mean, you don't. It's not a physical.
Yeah.
Poster.
We had. So what they are is they're incredibly high quality files.
Yeah.
We tried to find a service that could print them. We wanted to do it that way. And that really wasn't possible. But I don't know here in England, but in the United States, you can go to a...
Oh, there are lots of places you can get a printer.
Lots of places, you know, $20 to $30, Costco, whatever,
yeah.
and get, you know, like a 6x4. They're really, really high quality.
Good. Well, I think this has been a lot of fun. I want to thank everybody in Manchester for hosting you and setting this up, because technically this worked great. The quality was
yeah.
superb, and...
And I got to do the show without wearing anything on my ears. It was so nice.
I know.
Because we can hear you're piped into the auditorium.
Yeah. Ah. Well, in that case.
There's no lag, no delay.
La donna è mobile.
Yeah,
yep.
no, maybe.
Yep.
maybe
my mistake.
Not.
Sorry.
Sorry. I'll go back to the Jeff Wayne War of the Worlds.
Go back. No, go back to the Cats soundtrack.
Yeah.
Midnight.
Paul Theroux is at Theroux.com. Theroux, the place to go for great Windows help information, news, and updates. And, of course, the field guide to Windows 10, a must-have. It's now available. Mary Jo Foley blogs regularly at ZDNet. Her, it's easy to find. Just go to allaboutmicrosoft.com, and that's where you'll get the scoops. She's the queen of Microsoft scoops. And you guys will be back next week in your normal habitats, your abodes.
Yep. Good. I will be.
I will not.
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
I'm going to Rhode Island. It's Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
that's
wait a minute. Oh, it's the day before. We can still do a show, right? Yeah. You were going to be on a train, right, Paul?
Yeah, we'll do a Thanksgiving Eve show.
Yep.
So Mary Jo's going to be on a train.
What's Thanksgiving like in the UK? Oh, sorry.
Sorry. A Call of Duty. All Call of Duty show right. next yeah. week.
All Call of Duty show.
Get it all out right. of your system while I'm not
we
there.
We should get a gamer on with us.
We'll have specific tactics for individual maps on Black Ops 3. And then in hour two.
Leo's find Leo's dog.
Right, find Leo's dog.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, guys, thank you so much. We do Windows Weekly every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 British Standard Time, which also happens to be Greenwich Mean Time, which also happens to be UTC. So it all works out so beautifully, 1900 UTC.
We're finally in the right. We're
no?
Finally
hearing
in the
right, no on that. Nope.
BST's not UTC.
What happened? No. Oh, that's right. They lost it to... Would they lose it to France or something? What happened?
I thought Greenwich was a suburb of London. I'm confused.
I don't know.
Is it? Did the show not start at 1900?
I'm never going to get out of this country alive, Leo.
Well, you know, Thanksgiving, we're celebrating our release from the tyranny of the British king.
Oh, jeez.
Aren't we?
I'm pretty sure that's aren't not we? Actually what Thanksgiving is, but...
I get it all confused with that and succotash. so come back and see us next week if you want to be in the studio. We had some great people in the studio from Victoria, British Columbia, and from all around the country. Just email tickets at twit.tv. We have about three or four chairs in here, so it's not as big a crowd as you
are. The people are there from Victoria now?
Yeah, right.
Oh, Victoria's beautiful. Have
you're
you been
BC,
there?
From BC, right? Oh, it's gorgeous. You know what I like about it? They got flower
pots. That's like Britain
on
the West Coast, by the way, Victoria.
Yeah. It's Britain, yeah. Britain for West Coasters.
I've had high tea in Victoria.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Victoria's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.